Hey there, I'm Kylie Ross, and you are listening to the Tech Savvy Creatives podcast, where each week I'm going to be introducing you to a range of tech tools with a special focus for writers, entrepreneurs, and business owners, and how you can become confident and tech savvy in your creative endeavors. So the first series of the podcast, I'll take you on a journey that I hope will give you simple and productive ideas and action steps that you can take away to create a tech-savvy process flow that suits you, to allow you to create with ease. You can find the episode show notes and much more at techsavvycreatives.com/podcast. Now here's the show. So welcome creatives to this episode number 6 of the Tech Savvy Creatives podcast, and today we're talking about bookkeeping and tech tools. And I'm going to be chatting with a friend of mine, Amanda Stubbs from Sense Bookkeeping, and we're going to be discussing her favourite tech tools for bookkeeping and some tips for capturing and recording your financial information, which is hopefully going to make your life a lot easier and maybe, hopefully, break some of the myths that you might think surround the bookkeeping process and maybe why you haven't tried to take on a bookkeeper at the moment. So keep an open mind and either take away some of these tips for yourself, or maybe it will give you some ideas on exploring a bookkeeper for yourself. Let me know which way you go. Thanks. Okay, so today on the Tech Savvy Creators podcast, I'm welcoming Amanda Stubbs from Sense Bookkeeping. And we're going to have a bit of a chat about tech and bookkeeping and what she can do for you. Hey there, Amanda. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm going great. And I'm just going to add myself in there as well so people can see both of us. Yeah, so I've been having a bit of a look at my bookkeeping and record keeping as an entrepreneur, podcaster, online course creator, and I have some questions for you today as well. So, but I thought So before we get into those, I thought, do you want to just tell everybody a little bit about your business and the type of people that you like to work with and who you help?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, operating Sense Bookkeeping, I love to work with women in business who finance is just not necessarily their strong suit. We all have the things that we all love doing. And for many people, finance is not that one. So I like to help those people who really, and to really educate them and know what I'm doing and what it achieves for them, so that they can know why it's good to know your financial position, why it's good to know your profitability, because there's many people out there who just really don't. Mm. They don't know the answers to those questions. And I feel as a business owner, whether you're a solopreneur or you have a few staff, I think it's one of the most important things is to know your finances so that you can make good decisions for your business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, something that I was looking at recently is all the apps that I have and all the apps that I've paid for and which ones am I still using. It's really scary when you financially add that up, because it's sort of, you know, it's $10 a month, $14 a month, it might be US dollars, it might be Australian dollars, and you kind of go, oh yeah, that doesn't sound like much. I'll get this new great shiny thing. And yeah, I just started recently adding them up and it's a bit scary. I thought, I haven't been focusing on my finances the way that you were just talking about.
Yeah, it's like walking into Kmart and you're going through the section where everything's $1 or $2 and you're just filling out your trolley. It still all adds up. Yeah. You can walk out of Kmart with a $400 trolley because you've picked up all of these low-cost items, but you're just ending up, you're stacking them on top of each other. Yes. And in some cases, especially when it comes to these apps, you could be doubling up. They can be doing the same thing and then you're paying for two different apps. Mm-hmm. And who wants to do that?
Exactly. I think it's, and unless you actually really delve into it, you don't know that. Yeah. So exactly. Definitely something that I'm looking at the moment too. So watch this space on a couple of future podcasts. I've got some more tips on how to figure out what doubles up, but how would you recommend keeping track of the finances? So where should we record all that information?
Yeah, and again, that can depend on the size of the business, whether you're registered for GST, and I guess too, what the cash flow is like. Can you afford to pay for the software that's out there? Because there is so much on offer, and that's again one of the services I do offer is helping people to establish what's going to be best for them. So if you don't have a high income in your business, well, an Excel spreadsheet will probably get you through. But there's then also Wave Apps is an excellent free service, but then you slowly move up in price. So whether QuickBooks or Xero, it's really about what is going to be the best option for your business and what you need out of it.
And do you have a favorite?
I do, and I think most bookkeepers are the same. Xero would be my absolute favorite. I find it is the most intuitive and easy to use system. But I've been spending a lot more time using QuickBooks lately, and I am finding they have some slightly different functionality that, again, will suit some businesses more than others. So there's definitely, I can see the draw cards for the others. So it really is about what you need your software to do.
So it sounds like you have quite a lot of good experience in helping people make those decisions. And how can they get in touch with you, I guess, to ask that? Do you have a checklist that you go through or do some questions?
I do have some questions, and you can flick me an email, amanda@sensebookkeeping.com.au, and I can forward you a copy of the checklist, or we can schedule a phone call where I can actually take you through the questions and I can play the devil's advocate, I guess. So I can push your questioning, not for you to make the decision that you think I want you to make. I want you to make the decision that's right for you. So I will really try and work with you to get to the nitty-gritty as to what system's going to work best.
Sounds great. So, with running your business, okay, so is it just you in your business at the moment?
It is at this point in time, but I'm definitely looking to grow. Over time, I'd love to be able to provide employment solutions for either mums trying to get back into the workforce after having kids, or dads, or as single parents who get really limited and they really need to be able to work around school hours. They really need that solid flexibility for their work hours. So, as somebody who's been through that situation myself, I feel very passionate about it. So, I'd love to be able to offer that to other people to help them along as well.
No, that would be great. It's certainly this year especially has really driven that home to a lot of people that we need to make it work that way. So I think the tech side of being able to work remotely and not have to be in an office together really benefits that. And as you found as well, it's, you can work from home and, work around child school runs and things like that. What kind of apps do you use to help manage your time and your business? I know you mentioned Xero and QuickBooks. What about the organizational side of your business?
So I actually use Asana for my workflow. So I have it set out, and then I've got my template workflows for any particular services. So I offer like a mini audit, and so I have my templates set out with all of the steps, like a checklist. I can tick them off as I've done them, as completed. I can add in extra notes to be producing the report at the end of it. But then the same for all my ongoing services. I really like because I can tick that it's done for this week, but it's a recurring task. So it means, yep, this week's done, it will automatically bring up next week's task. So I'm not continually re-entering them, and I know that what's in Asana is what I've got to do. And I find that really takes off the mental load of constantly having to try and think about what you've got to do today or what have you got next week. Oh, I really must remember to do that. Everything just goes into Asana. I've got all my different boards for all different things. I've got my daily success habits. They're the things that I must do every day without fail. And then each client has their own workspace that I work through. So I do find they can really make things good for you.
No, that sounds really interesting. We've spoken a little bit before this interview session today and you'd mentioned Asana and I went and checked it out. And I've actually started using it as well. I'd been using a couple of others and it just wasn't doing what I needed. I've just recently discovered the templates and the workflow options. So thank you.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Okay. So how do you work with your clients with that then? Do they need to have Asana to be able to do that?
No, they don't. And again, I'm very, very flexible and I base any of my work around the particular client's needs. So if I have a client who is tech savvy and they'd like to be able to just chuck things straight into a to-do list for me, I will create a board and I will give them access to and they can communicate with me through that avenue. Otherwise, they might call me and I'll type it straight into the Asana work board because, well, specifically if you're a tradie on the road, they'll just quickly call me on the way to the next job or something and just say, hey, can you look at this for me? I really need you to do that. So I do find every person works differently and I like to promote being flexible to be able to suit it to my clients rather than making them fit around me.
I really like that option because I'm finding that more and more that it used to be the way was, oh, this is the best thing. You must have this app to be a writer or you must have this app to launch a course. And, you know, you have to have this software to do your bookkeeping. And it was always this one thing, the best app. And I thought, but it just doesn't work. Everybody likes to work differently. So I think the flexibility that you're offering is awesome to do that. Do the users need to have Asana license or is it just if you've got the board, they can just access that?
If I've got the board, I then add them as a user. So they need their email address and then they technically become having an account, but all the information it needs is their name, an email address and a password. And then that's them set up. So they can have the app on their phone and they can get a notification if I need to send them something, I tag their name in it. So like you would in Facebook or something, if you want to tag someone, you put the at symbol and you write their name and that would send them an actual notification that there's a task there for them or the other way around. They can do that for me. So then I get the notification on my phone that tells me that they want something done. It's and I can be as responsive as needed, obviously. So it's all about prioritizing the workload as everybody does.
No, exactly. I can get this huge long list and they're all urgent. It's all important. It's all about prioritizing though. So yeah. How do you manage working with the customer then? Is anyone still using physical paper to print invoices or is it all electronic these days?
Well, I mean, to be sending invoices is largely electronic, but you do get some tradies who still work with the paper invoices. You might find some people who mow lawns. They will just leave a invoice in your letterbox to pay. So again, it really, really varies to the person. But I mean, you'd find you go somewhere and you purchase an item and you get a paper receipt. So there is so much tech out there that helps to make this easier. So you don't need to actually keep that receipt. There's some wonderful apps you can get on your phone. Say, for example, if you've got Xero, HubDoc is normally a free add-on. So you can just take a photo of that receipt and it'll scan the key information out of it and pop it into the system for you. So it's really, really simplified. And then once that's in the system, you can chuck that receipt out. You don't have to worry about it because you've got that digital copy.
No, that's really good to know because I have got a so much paper from the past that is just stuck in a box. I'm one of those really bad people that comes and gives you a shoebox and says, "Here's all my stuff." More and more, I'm getting out of that, and being focused on tech these days, I do have everything electronic. All my payments, all my documents, all my invoices are electronic. But I guess the filing of those, I'm not across, and I know that I should be. If it's my business, I'm sweet with that. Like, I've got a system, I've got filing, I'm going to create this course. Here's all my collateral, these are my images, this is what I'm doing. I've got templates and workflows for everything except my finances. Do you have any tips on how to, if I'm not taking a scanned picture of my invoice, do you have any tips on how to file to get things into it? 'Cause I personally use QuickBooks as my software, but I'm not diligent with it.
And that's fair enough. Look, and so many people are not diligent and end up with that shoebox full of receipts. And really, I find the best thing is just about as pretty much as soon as you get it is the easiest way to manage them. As soon as you get it, take that photo or scan, pop it into, you could have a Google Drive, you could have, oh, what's the other one? I can't think of the other one. Any,
Dropbox.
yep, Dropbox is the one. So any sort of cloud-based software that you can access from anywhere to store it, and just even have just a receipts folder where you just dump them. Even better if you can rename them with a date even, but make it easy for yourself. So even if it's you've got folders that are named by month, and you just dump all the receipts from that month into that folder. Try and really, really make it easy for yourself and simplify it. Otherwise, you're not going to do it. If it seems too hard, if it seems complicated, if you feel like it's going to take a long time, you're not going to do it. So I'm a very big believer in quickly take that photo, put it aside, and then you know you've got that. And then you can forget about it.
I like that option to forget about it. That sounds great. What about, so how do you work with customers if you're doing their bookkeeping for them? What sort of things do you do if they're dumping all these receipts? Do they dump them in a folder that you can access? Is that how it works?
Yeah, so, and again, it varies client to client, where if they're local to me and I know they're not tech savvy, I can get a shoebox full of receipts. But if they are tech savvy, well, I help set them up with any software, help them get the apps on their phone to really make sure that we're working efficiently together, because I don't want things to take a long time and charge people for an exorbitant amount or for a really long period of time. I'm all about efficiency. If there's ways to do things quicker and easier to provide the same results, I'll do that. And I will speak to the client, make sure it suits them to work that way, and we can adapt that. But I will communicate with the client first and make sure that they're across any sort of communication. I've got one client who, after I've done the reconciliation, they want me to just send them a Facebook Messenger with any questions, and then we'll set up and have a weekly phone call. So, and then I've got other clients where they do just dump it all into a folder. I've got access to that folder, and then I just sort them all out for them. So it literally is a dump and forget, because they know I'll take care of it from there. So again, there's very much that flexibility and adapting it to each person.
No, that sounds awesome. And what sort of pain points do people really have? I mean, obviously the receipts and raising invoices. Are there any other issues that people have with their bookkeeping that, you've come along and helped them with? I'm really curious as to know how people, like the steps that happen, how it all goes around, and they get their month-end report and go, "Yeah, I'm making all this money, yay." And from the dumping of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I guess probably one of the biggest things people do have trouble with is doing the reconciliation. So, which is an accounting term, it's all the jargon, but it's about going through and matching your bank statement to the transactions that have actually occurred on the account. So it's matching them. So making sure that you're then allocating each income to the right area, right account code for tracking, and same with the expenses. So if you've got your internet bill, it's allocating it to the telephone and internet code, which again, and they are all customizable. So it's about having the right codes for you. And a lot of people, as a sole trader, are not exactly certain how to record their own wages, things like that. There can be a lot of confusion. And so this is where I help people get set up with their processes, and I train them how to do it and make it easy for themselves. So I will change any wording of account names, so anything for what is the usual accounting jargon for a sole trader's wages is generally owner's drawings. I'll rename that to wages so that it's simple for that person. They only have to look at it and go, oh, yep, I know exactly what that is. That goes into my wages. So they can just pop that in. Just make it as easy as possible. Because it can get complicated enough, so we simplify it.
Yeah, I think that's the best word ever, is to be able to simplify to make it easy, because a lot of business people, especially everyone starting out this year, going, oh, I'm going to go online and I'm going to do this, I'm going to be an influencer or a blogger, or I'm going to create an online course, or and there's a lot of that happening this year, and I don't think people have really thought through the next steps of how are we going to record all of this to know if we're actually making a living out of it or not, or we've just bought the next shiny
Exactly.
thing.
Yeah. And honestly, I asked the question in a couple of Facebook groups last week because I was curious and I actually said, do you know how profitable your business is? And the responses were largely no. Some people were saying, oh, well, I've paid my expenses. It's just the profit's just whatever's left in the account, isn't it? But so, and there's so much more to it because it's taking into account you've got expenses for a whole year to plan for. So you might have what seems like profit for now, but you've got insurance to pay for at the end of the year. So are you accounting for that? Are you preparing yourself for that expense later? Are you also putting money aside to pay your income tax or GST? There's just so much more to it than just literally having money in the account. And that's the beauty of bookkeeping, because you can look in the account and you go, oh, I have that money, but that's set aside for this, that's for the tax. I know my wages, I can set up, I can do a regular payment for $500 a week, bam, and that's my wages. I know I can afford that. But also, there is the next shiny new thing, and you go, oh, I'd really love to have that, but can you afford it? That is the question. And that's why having a system where you are tracking all of that, and you can actually look at a glance, you can say, all right, yep, I've got a bit of room to move. I don't have any other software like it. Yep, I can do that. So it really, really helps you to move forward in your business. Ability to scale, it is really, really important to know how profitable your business is, what your income and expenses are, to know how to move forward. Because if your expenses are outweighing your income, then you're making a loss, and nobody wants that.
No, definitely not. And how do you have a recommendation on how regular to keep up with all of that? And or if you're doing it, how often do you keep up with their keeping their bookkeeping software up to date?
Yeah, so I love numbers, so I'm checking my own every day. That's just me. I just like to know on an ongoing basis exactly where I'm at. But generally, I will do my clients at least once a week. So I will make sure everything is up to date at least once a week, preferably twice if I'm doing it, because that's just part of the service I offer. But I do recommend people do it once a week, because I find any longer than that and things can really pile up, and it just gets pushed back, gets pushed back. Oh, I can't be bothered. Oh, too hard. Oh, I'm just going to take me a whole day now. So at least if you do it once a week, it's quick. And depending on your business, it could only take you 10 minutes a week. And what's 10 minutes
Coffee break.
compared to a full day at tax time?
Yes, absolutely. And I have to say, that's one of my horror stories is I was an accountant. I'm a retired accountant now, and I now implement IT software. But my accounting role was in manufacturing and corporate, and I did systems accounting. So it was all the computer side of how it all joined together, not the mechanics of how you actually code something. Although, obviously I know the basics of that, but I never did practically, and especially for a sole trader, that's very different to corporate and how everything, where all the buckets go. And I have to say, now that I'm doing this for myself, I have really let it slide. And I seem to have a bit of a phobia about it because that was my past, and now I'm doing something completely different. And I ignore it on a regular basis. And I book it into my calendar, and every week I have a weekly hour, and I just, I'm busy or I'm tired or I'll do it next week, I'll catch up. And I've now got a year of data that I now have to sit down this weekend and do because now I'm late for lodging everything. Yes.
So
So,
imagine if you'd done it on a weekly basis.
yes. Well, I think, having the tech to help out with this is one of my big things, and I have tech for a lot of things, but I've had this mental block where I've actually ignored the finance side of it because it scares, it's, I've just got this phobia about it now because it's not, I don't have all this income. It wasn't all going to plan. And so I've had to sort of switch my life around and go, okay, well, you know what? I am actually getting income now. This is working. But I still haven't flicked back to actually know exactly where I am. And I'm just starting to do that after talking to you a couple of weeks ago and realizing, some of the little things that I have been letting slide. I thought, oh, okay, we need to focus on this. So if someone has left things for a year, is that something that you help with?
Absolutely, yeah. Because, and there's nothing worse than looking at it and feeling completely overwhelmed and not knowing where to start. So, absolutely reach out. More than happy to help dissect it all and help get it all ready for your accountant.
We might have another call that's not online to do that, but
No worries, that's
yeah.
fine.
Thank you. So with way that you manage your business and getting back to sort of the tech and tips that we can do with that, you mentioned Asana, and I know old school ways back before then it was a post-it note on the monitor, and we all had our old, going back to time of FileFax. I had a FileFax and a leather binder with my little pages that I could replace in there every year. And do you still write things down, or are you now completely, it's Asana and that's what I use? I'm very curious to know if people are doing both or one or the other now.
Well, and I guess I am old school in that way. I do like to write down. I've always got my pen and paper next to me because, especially if I'm on the phone to somebody, I can just quickly write it down. I'm not scrambling to try and find the right Asana board to put things in. So I can quickly write that down and then enter it into the board when I'm not trying to write as somebody speaks to me. But I've always been a list maker, and I do find there is just something about it where you can just sit down and you just write your list for that day and just know what has to happen that day, what would be great to happen, and then if you manage to get through all of that, something will be amazing to get done. So, and I do, and I like to cross things off. I think they all help to make you feel good and productive and to feel like you're actually achieving things.
Do you have a whiteboard, and do you have highlighters to, do you like to color code things as well?
I have highlighters. I have all different colored pens.
Yep.
I don't have a whiteboard, but now that you mention it, that might be a good idea. Although I do have a bit of a vision board behind me, corkboard. But no, and I am, it's like, I like reading an old school book. There's just nothing like reading off paper than, rather than using a device. Each to their own. I do both. I have the Kindle, but there's nothing like reading a good book.
Yeah. I have to say, I was very much that way, and I had boxes and boxes of books. I couldn't let them go once I read them. I would reread them, my favourites, and wherever I went, whenever I moved, I would be moving my whole library of books with me as well. And then I started travelling overseas for my work. I just started contracting in different countries because I wanted to travel. And I found I had all my stuff packed up in storage here in Brisbane, and then I was in Scotland and Ireland and New Zealand and London, wherever. And I couldn't carry all of this stuff, and carrying a laptop with all my bag and my handbag and my luggage, it was just getting too much to have a couple of books in there as well. It was just, yeah, everything was just adding up, and I needed to start minimizing it. So once I went to the iPad, I never looked back, and over time I have actually given away all my books because I've got them on my iPad now too, all my favorites. So, and I don't need a light to read at nighttime. That was my favorite thing, is that I've got the light on the iPad. So I did convert. So I'm a convert. Mm-hmm. Although I love walking through bookshops, and the smell of books is amazing.
Yes.
I haven't got the stock of books that I used to have, but I still read a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, I have the paper light Kindle, so yeah, it doesn't have that backlight, so I find it's the closest thing to be reading a real book digitally.
I find it really interesting how we stage through, and like, technology is, you know, bam, it's so different for anyone who grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and you know, we didn't have mobile phones, we didn't have devices, we had to go to the library to get a book or go to the bookstore, and the transition from going to, we still want that old feel, that connection, that smell, that touch, that the ambience. Mm.
Well, because it's a real sensation. Yeah. It's not just the part of doing it. It's as you said, the smells, it's the touch, the feel. Mm. There's more to it than simply doing the thing.
Yeah, and I wonder, and this is certainly more of a topic for another day, but virtual reality and what that's going to be for us in the future of getting that sensation, like reading a book or being in a, you know, your favorite author's bookshop, and what that's, yeah, going to look like around you with your VR goggles on, and you know, can you touch and feel the book and smell it? And I appreciate we're still a few years away from that, but I know that that is being worked on. And then having shops, so your shopfront people can sort of just put their VR goggles on and be in someone's shop, and whether it's a bookshop or a dress shop, and be virtually trying on clothes. And
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long way in the future yet, but I think what really interests me is that transition that we're getting there. So where you said you like to write, I do that too, and I tried to go completely digital and it wrecked my head. I have to say, having everything in a computer, when you mention I need to put something on a board, where's the board, which screen am I on, where's that app, and whether you're on a phone or a tablet or a laptop, it is a bit confusing. Whereas if you've got that piece of paper right next to you, you've got your notebook, you just write it down, it's done, and then you organize, yep, it later. And I've started to look at writing on my iPad and with my, yes, pencil, and to replace that, because as I said, traveling in my pseudo career as IT consultant, I'm often at customers and traveling around, and I quite often need that notebook that I don't have on me with those words that I wrote down or that idea. And I'm finding that the iPad has replaced that for me, and I've got a really good writing experience. I use NoteShelf 2 is the app that I use with the Apple Pencil, and I have that next to me all the time, and I just, you know, press the thumbnail on it and open it, and then I've got my notepad there, and I've just got my today notes and write them down. And I'm finding that's working for me. But every now and then I keep going, oh, where's my post-it note? Or I want to touch a highlighter. So yeah, so it's really interesting. But I think that hand eye, that it's all about the feeling, that sensation. And I don't think the young kids appreciate that. I know my son, who's 10, it's complete digital. Like, he's grown up with an iPad from when he was born, basically, because I've had one for that long. And he watches movies and does everything, and he's, everything is digital and electronic. And I don't think he appreciates reading a good book and using a highlighter and different colored pens and things. I wonder how it's going to go. I do wonder how it's going to go in the future, how we're going to be doing our business. How will we keep these old ways for us, and will the young ones move back to that? I don't know. Will they see a benefit from it? There's a lot of scientific reports about it. I haven't read all of them, but about how you retain memory from writing.
And I'm one of those people. So I know when I'm doing my studying, well, I've got to write down my notes. I can't just type them. I need to actually sit there and write them. And that's just how, over the years, I know that's how I learn, and that's how I retain that kind of information. Because when you need to retain enough to pass an exam, you've got to do your best with that. So, yeah. And look, my daughter's 5, and I guess in some ways I consider her lucky because I don't have an iPad and I've never had one. So she actually hasn't been exposed to that side of things. So we go to the library on a weekly basis, and she's allowed to choose 5 books each week to borrow. So it really is, it is different. And I know it's not the norm at this point, but I guess I like taking her back to my roots and how I grew up so that she can still appreciate the same things.
Yeah, and I think, and I do a bit of that too. I mean, because I've traveled so much, and my son's lived in 3 countries before he was 6, having the iPad was really good for traveling, because it was like he could just watch a movie and, keeps him quiet. But he's now using it for school. My mum actually is still very much borrows books from the library on a regular basis, whereas I'll download them from Amazon or from Apple Books. And so she takes him to the library, and he just goes nuts. He just thinks it's amazing. He's like, oh, there's this one and that one. And he reads them all. So he has a very good mix at the moment of reading on his iPad, reading an actual book, and listening to audiobooks is his new thing that he's started to do when he just wants to chill. Yeah. So we have an Audible account, and I can get him kid books, and he's listening to, his favorite at the moment is David Walliams, which I have to say, those books are great. And The Worst Parents or something. It's the worst parents in the world or something. David Walliams, if you're not familiar, he writes a lot of kid books that have a bit of a, they're not nice and pretty and friendly. They're all about these experiences that are a bit funny and quirky and eccentric characters in them, all centered around family. So we've been having a lot of fun listening to those. But yeah, it's interesting to know where we're going to go with all of this, and going, how much tech in our lives is too much? Is it too much? I mean, I'd love to know from listeners what you guys think about the tech, and especially with kids growing up, and how they're using it, as well as how you're using it in your business. I think that would be really interesting to get more of a feel, because I know my life, you know your life, and we get very much used to how we're doing things. It'd be cool to know what's going on in other families with that, with the tech.
Yeah, absolutely. And because everybody's different, and everybody has different views and beliefs, so it would be very interesting.
Just a slide one. Okay, so thanks so much, Amanda, for sharing all of that with us today, and how you're doing business with the tech side of it, and with your customers doing that. It sounds great the way that you're very flexible, and everyone can do it their own way. It's not like they have to ring you and you go, everything must be online, you must do it this way. It's like you're working in with what they want. Do you find, actually, one last question then, do you find that that's a surprise for them, that they can still do things the way that they like to do them, and you just tweak them up a little bit?
Yeah, and it really is. And I've gotten feedback from clients who just say, you're just not like other bookkeepers. Take it as a compliment, yes. But no, it really is because I guess it's against what people are expecting. People are expecting to just have to do what I tell them to do, which can be the way if that's what the person wants. But I really prefer to work with that person, not work for them. So it feels more like we're working as part of a team and we can work together.
It's definitely breaking the stereotype.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Thanks so much, Amanda. And everything's going to be, all everything that we've talked about today is going to be in the show notes. So all the links to all those apps that we've mentioned throughout the show. And we'll also put some details down here about how you can get in touch with Amanda. But did you want to and say where people can, what's the easiest way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can check out my website, which is just sensebookkeeping.com.au. So that's got heaps of info on there, and you can just go to the contact me section and you can just pop in your details and I can call you or whatever's going to
Sounds
work. However you want me to
perfect.
talk to you.
That sounds really good. That sounds perfect. So thanks so much, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and a review on wherever you listen. And it would be really awesome if you could also take a moment to screenshot and share this episode out to your social. Please tag me in, and I'll be sure to reply and share your comments and takeaways from the episode as well. It's a win-win for both of us. You can also add me to your Patreon podcast listens over on patreon.com/techsavvycreatives. That's Patreon, patreon.com if you haven't heard of it. I pack a load of benefits into your patronage each month with additional podcasts and benefits just for patrons, and all for the price of, say, a coffee or two each month. So check it out, and I look forward to including you in my next shout-outs. So thanks for listening, and don't forget, if you want to delve further into anything discussed on this episode, check out the show notes over on techsavvycreatives.com/podcasts, and I look forward to you tuning in next week. But take care, and I hope you and yours have a safe and creative week.